From NPR and Chicago Public Radio, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Peter Sagal. In mid-2006, panelists Amy Dickinson, Roy Blunt Jr., and Mo Rocca came with us to Kansas City, where we put on our show in an old burlesque house. For our Not My Job game, we chose one of Kansas City's most famous sons, writer Calvin Trillin. Now, Trillin is known, among other things, for being a dedicated New Yorker. So the question came up, how do you raise children with those down-home Kansas City values while you're in the middle of Greenwich Village?
Well, it's very easy. You just take a white picket fence and you put it around the brownstone.
Right.
It marks it. You say, this is Kansas City.
And within those confines, what rules apply?
Well, Midwestern rules. And of course, the motto of the entire Midwest, which could be on the license plates of all the states, is no big deal.
Don't get a big head about it.
Right.
Don't get too big for your britches.
Right.
You know, we're in the Folly Theater here, a former burlesque house, as I understand it. I wonder if
the answer is no, Roy. I was never in that house.
All right.
At least he never bought a ticket. He's willing to go that far. You, of course, are the nation's only deadline poet. You regularly write poetry about the news. In fact, I understand you have a new book out, a collection, your second collection of Bush administration-inspired rhymes.
It's called A Heck of a Job.
Right. Before we go any further, do you, for those who don't know this side of you, do you have a sample for us?
Well, sure. I could read the title poem, which is called Further Words from George W. Bush After He Said to FEMA Chief Michael Brown, Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job. A qualified guy, I wish I had added. Your resume's super, even if padded. We wanted the best to lead FEMA's forces, and who would know more than a man who knows horses? You saw that the storm was more than some showers and sent off a memo in 4 or 5 hours. You found out that life in the dome was not super, and only a day after Anderson Cooper. A heck of a job, you know how to lead them. We hope to award you the Medal of Freedom.
Okay, so... I have to ask you, they named a new poet laureate this week, and somehow...
Rejected again.
They passed you over.
I don't understand. This is something like the 14th time in a row I've been rejected.
Is this just the elitism of the Academy? They don't want their poet laureate to be someone who does accessible stuff?
Exactly. I'm glad you said it.
Yeah.
I feel like that actress who always just failed to get the daytime
Susan
Soul
Lucci.
Award.
No. Yeah, no, you're not, though, because she finally won.
Right.
Oh, well.
I'm not. Right.
That'll never happen.
We need an even more iconic loser for you now.
That's right.
Well, Calvin Trillin, we're pleased to welcome you back to your hometown. We have asked you here, telephonically, to play a game we're calling...
You are the conscience of the Senate and a high-pressure hose of cash back to West Virginia.
In other words, you're Democratic Senator Robert Byrd, who this week set a record and became, with 47 years in office, the longest-serving senator in United States history. Now, we thought we would pay tribute to this great statesman by asking you 3 questions about him. Get 2 right, you'll win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl's Voice, and their home answering machine. So, Corey, who is author Calvin Trillin playing for?
Lisa Carew Burden of Kansas City.
All right. Here's your first question. Now, it is well known that Robert Byrd was a member of the Ku Klux Klan as a young man. He's a little slip-up he has repeatedly apologized for ever since. But what's less well known is how much his experience in the Klan changed the course of his life. Was it A, that he met and courted his future wife Irma for 2 weeks without ever seeing her with her hood off? Was it B, by winning election to the office of exalted Cyclops, he realized that he could be an effective politician?
C.
Or was it C, a bad asthma attack brought on by a cross-burning made him into a lifelong anti-smoking advocate?
I withdraw my answer. I'll say... B.
You're going to say B, that by winning election to the office of exalted Cyclops of the Ku Klux Klan, he realized that he could be an effective politician.
Yeah.
You're right. That's exactly what happened. Bird was just a shipyard worker when he realized via his electoral success in the Klan that he could convince people to support him. As one of his fellow Klansmen said to him, quote, "You have a talent for leadership, Bob." Okay. You got one right. That was very good. You sort of, you came
away with it. I never had any doubts about that.
No, not at all. Now, Mr. Byrd, in his many decades in the Senate, become known for his mastery of Senate history and rules, and of course for steering more than $1 billion of taxpayer money back to West Virginia. But he has another remarkable feather in his cap. Is it A, he's issued a CD of himself playing the country fiddle, B, they still call the best player on any West Virginia high school football team the Birdman, or C, he holds the world record for largest freshwater perch caught with hand tackle?
A.
A, that he issued a CD of himself playing the fiddle?
Yeah.
You're right, he did. Last question, you could go for perfect. Senator Byrd is an accomplished and skilled legislator. In fact, via his mastery of lawmaking, he is personally responsible for which of these things happening? A, each and every federal law enforcement officer in this country now addresses any woman over the age of 15 as ma'am rather than miss. B, cosmetology students in Philadelphia had to spend a day watching lectures by two Supreme Court justices. Or C, Byerly's Cafe in Wheeling, West Virginia will always be exempt from any anti-smoking ordinance.
I like to think it's A. I'm not sure it is, but I'm gonna vote for that one anyway.
You're gonna vote for the fact that Robert Byrd, through force of law, now requires that any federal law enforcement officer must address any woman over the age of 15 with the appellation ma'am.
Wow. Even snotty teenagers. I mean,
Britney Spears is over 15.
I know. So that's your choice. Your choice is A.
No. The
answer actually was B, the cosmetology students watching the Supreme Court justice lectures. And not just them. Because of an amendment Byrd slipped into a bill last year, every single school, no matter what they teach, if they receive federal funding, they must instruct their students on the Constitution on September 17th of each year. That's the document's birthday. Another example found by the New York Times, Irene's Myomassology Institute of Massage in Michigan, which quizzed its budding masseurs and masseuses on the Bill of Rights.
I got that one wrong on purpose because I was brought up to be humble.
There you are. Corey, how did Calvin Trillin do on our quiz?
Calvin Trillin got two right, meaning Lisa Carew Burden gets Carl Castle's voice on her home answering machine.
Very well done.